Like, we may now, pay more attention to that for a while. I don't know. Who knows what to predict?
I don't know what the future
a year from
holds.
Now, how could you possibly predict any of this, let alone we'd still be where we are today?
Right.
But I was thinking about it when the Grappler was posting all the videos, because today is our fifth anniversary at 4 o'clock. We became Overdrive, and we went on the air at 4 o'clock 5 years ago today. And the Grappler's been posting a bunch of things. And one of the clips, for starters, I have short hair, which I haven't had in a year. Secondly, I'm noticeably sick. Like, I have
a
cold.
Every clip that I saw today, you had this head cold, and I'm like, what the hell's wrong with this guy?
No kidding. What was I doing? Like, what was I up to in a previous life where I was constantly
sick? You know why? You got two
kids.
You
look like John Candy in Stripes with your buzz cut. It was a weird look.
What a brutal haircut. Like, my wife said that very delicately, which makes me wonder. She'd probably been thinking about it for a while and was waiting to slide this in. She said, one of the great benefits you've had of COVID is you've let your hair grow out. Because it looks way better.
You can't touch the hair. Your hair looks really, like, you have nice hair.
I appreciate that.
And it was awful before.
It was terrible.
I remember I used to look at your hair, obviously sitting beside you for 3 hours every day. I would stare at your hair. And I would be like, I know what this guy does.
It's terrible.
No,
hair.
Like, there was no gel. There was like, that's shower head, and there was nothing happening after that. You just came to work, and like, you're like, that's my hair.
A terrible hair. Terrible.
And I would stare at it and be like, this guy just doesn't care about it. And he just washes it and comes to work.
It's got
to
be. You know how at training camp, you get the headshot, and then they show, like, for example, the other day, Sidney Crosby from 18 to 34, they show the different headshots every year. We've got to do a headshot of Hayes early on when you were Griff. Ooh. And then the hair was a little bit messy, but then, you know, it went short. Like, be interesting to see the progression of Brian Hayes in 10 years, right?
Well, there has certainly been progression. There was a stock photo used by TSN. I think Steph is responsible for this.
Yeah.
That was always used whenever I get a media pass, because every year I get a media pass for the Leafs, the Raptors, the Jays, and the teams will send you the pass. And it was a stock photo, and it was actually thoroughly embarrassing. Like, I'm a sloth in it. I had a hat on that day, so my hair is everywhere, and it's short, it's buzzed. I was Peter Griffin, and I'm telling you, for years, this was my stock photo. So whoever was, like, issuing these with the Leafs, Raptors, and Jays, and occasionally I'd go to, like, you know, if I'm going to an Argo event or TFC or whatever, they'd have it waiting for me. It was always the exact same stock photo, and it was horrendous, like awful. And it was either they were keeping it in the rotation because they're like, this guy's such an idiot and look at how goofy this pick is, or Steph was sending it to them year in, year out, saying, use this photo.
Dude, I give your wife credit, man. She stood by you. Like, you were a moose and you weren't good looking, and you're actually good looking now. So she stood by you to see the end result.
She saw the potential.
Yeah.
You know what? She saw
like
the potential in you.
She's like a scout.
I'm Bitcoin.
She's Craig Button. Yeah, she's Craig Button.
Yeah,
she saw you in junior.
Of scouting out, she's like, well, you wait. She goes, this big bastard's going to lose some weight. He's going to grow his hair. And stop wearing those stupid men's golf shirts with no sleeves on them and button-ups. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be dialed in. And look at you now. You're dialed in.
Yep, Ma grown up. It's paid off for her pretty well. You're right.
I agree. She is.
We should ask her, though. There was probably a few, you know, lean years where thinking, should I sign this guy to another deal? Or do I walk away from him?
I was on a PTO, Noodles. She's told me this story.
Like, dude, she's probably come home and seen you, like, moosed kit territory, eating a wheel on the couch, and just said, I don't know what to do with this guy.
Passed out with the wheel. Like the wheels falling onto the ground.
Right.
And it's like, what am I doing here?
Yeah, a pair of cargo shorts, like 42-inch waist cargo, past the kneecap. Like, just awful shoes, like, just top to bottom looking, saying, there's nothing about this guy's scouting report that would indicate it's going to pay off. It was Bitcoin 10 years ago. That's what it was. And I guess I'm Bitcoin now, which means it could go south at any point.
Very volatile.
It's a very volatile purchase, and she's locked in now. Joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. What's happening, Ray?
Am I coming here for financial advice today? What's going on?
Well, just being very candid and quite frankly rude about my own situation and my marital status.
No,
and how it's
Ray,
a miracle
I told
that it
him
exists.
His wife is, I give her a lot of credit for sticking it out, because he was a tub of garbage 3 years ago, and now he's good looking, and he's got a good job, and he's well known, and he's got it together. And she saw that.
Oh, do you think old you and I should be giving out marital advice?
No, if people saw financial statements, they would not want us to be doing that.
I never thought of that. We just called his wife the Craig Button of relationship because she saw potential in Brian Hayes. How long have you been with Aaron? Like,
oh, we've been together, 13 years now.
So she saw potential years ago,
but
she signed him to a long-term deal and kind of like chipped away. Probably took some heat from the media, took some heat from people saying, hold on a second here, but it's paid off for her. That's where we're going.
That's what's important. It worked out for her very well.
Well, what draft pick, what round do you think you would have been, Hayes?
Oh, back in the day, like when I was at my the bottom of the barrel of
PT,
just
a camp invite
for the East Coast Hockey League, like camp invite for a league somewhere in Turkey. Yeah. Like it was not a good position to be in, and I'll admit that.
Well, then what the hell was she thinking then?
I don't know. Maybe I'm just Mr. Personality. That's what every guy uses when somehow they haul in, a woman that they have no right in doing. I got a big personality. Make her laugh.
Great.
She's a nice person. Great in the room.
Great in the room.
Good, good leader. Yeah. Great in the room. Social convener. Like all of the things. You know what you have, Brian? Intangibles.
There you go.
Nothing that the analytics can touch.
Analytics would hate me. Hate
you've got
me.
Intangibles. You bring intangibles something to
through
the
table. Roof. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. So I don't know. We'd have to get her on to explain that someday.
Well, I think that's a segment right there. That is a segment right there.
Yes, yes. We'll get my wife on to explain what the hell she was thinking 10 years ago. there's some good things going on in this country or in this city, as I'm sure you're aware of. I mean, Matthews with 4 more points on Saturday night. And you talked about it last week, he and McDavid. That may have been a coincidence. There's a part of me, the sports fan in me, wants to believe that it wasn't, that Matthews puts up 4 and McDavid goes, all right, That'll work for me. He had 5 points like 25 minutes into the game on Saturday night. And the two of them, it's weird because Marner's been outstanding. Draisaitl's still been great. And I don't think they're even a part of the conversation right now.
They're not. I mean, they are clearly the second guy on both teams. And yet they're both having amazing seasons. McDavid had no points on Friday. It's a 2-1 win. I think it's the first time in I don't even know how long that they won without a point from either Draisaitl or McDavid. And then he just runs roughshod over them in the nightcap. I actually said when Matthews scored the first goal again, I said, again? I can't believe it. It's now not, I wonder if he's going to score. It's of course he's going to score. It's just when and how many. And I'm just, what these guys are doing is, it's kind of like 1980s stuff, right? They're getting 2 points a game. I'm doing the prep for the game today. The last guy to have a goal a game this late in the year was Stamkos had 19 and 19, and that was in 2010-11. And the last Leaf was Wendell. Right at 23 and 23, but that was in the '80s when goals were a little easier to come by. But this is amazing what they're doing, just astounding.
Was that the year Stamkos got 65? I'm just looking for reference. Is that probably? It sounds probably right.
Yeah, did he get 65?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
he did.
Oh,
I had an argument on TH2N. With the host, because I said the minute that Marty St. Louis got traded, Stamkos will never get 65 again, and he wanted to fist fight.
What did he say?
He's a Stamkos guy, which is true, but Marty St. Louis was an elite passer, like Nick Backstrom to Ovi, like Marner to Matthews. You need somebody to get you the puck in the wheelhouse. And that's what we're seeing. We saw that, Saturday night. That was a beautiful pass by Marner. And then Matthews does the rest by putting it under the bar. You need somebody to get you the puck.
Noodles, that's why I think scoring is so complicated and so difficult. It's not like hitting a home run. Like, you go up there, if you have the ability, it's just you and the pitcher. You don't need anybody else to do anything else. Like, Matthews might be the best shooter in the history of the game, and if he doesn't have somebody to get him the puck, it doesn't matter. Ovi is the best shooter in the game, and if he doesn't have Backstrom and Kuznetsov getting him the puck, he's just a tourist standing in the left faceoff circle because the puck never comes there.
Right.
Like, that's why, like, when we're trying to project, you know, can Matthews get 50 and 50? And, like, not only does he have to be healthy, Marner has to be healthy. Not only does he not be able to go into a little bit of a dive, neither can Marner. Right? Like, that's the most direct connection. Like,
right.
It is really, really going to be incredibly difficult to project this, you know, can he get 50 goals? Because it's going to take more than just him. It's not just him.
Ray, I'm kind of excited tonight to watch Nylander, what he kind of brings to the table. He kind of got his pee-pee whacked the other night in Montreal by the coach, and I want to see what he's got as a response. What are you looking forward to seeing that or what?
Yeah, because I thought in the first half of the game, I thought he was really good. I'm like, I'm kind of digging the way he's skating. I'm, you know, he had the puck. He had it with purpose. He's, you know, it looked good. And then all of a sudden, you never heard his name for a few minutes, and then you're like, oh man, you're not getting on the ice anymore. This book is closed.
Yeah.
And like, I thought it went fast from pretty good to ugh. And so, again, though, like, he should be able to at least look involved and engaged because of his abilities. As far as the score and all that stuff, he's going to need, you know, you need help. We all do. The thing I notice is, like, he skates with the puck, and he's, you know, if he's pushing the play, a lot of the times when Tavares gets the puck, like when Nylander gets it to Tavares, he's standing still. Like, he's not moving in the flow. They're not in sync at all.
I would just give him the Mike Keenan treatment, where it's like, play the crap out of him and say, you wanted to do that the other night. I gave you a little penalty, and I want to see what you got tonight. I want to see how pissed off you are. Now be the best player on the ice and help us win the game tonight. See if he's got that in him. See what the response is. I'm curious to see him. Very curious.
Remember when Keenan did that with Kovalev, Alex actually thought he was playing well and that Keenan wanted him. So it kind of lost the point. He played about 15 minutes in a row, and Alex is like, wow, I must be playing great. He keeps putting me out here. Took him a while to get to it. But I don't know, at some point you have to challenge the guy, and then he's got to respond in however it's going to be, whether it's more time. I'm not a fan of, you know, like, okay, so Thomas Tatar, for example, he's in the ditch in Montreal. And so he played a really good game. Then yesterday or Saturday, when it's Sunday, they played against Ottawa. He ended up getting benched again. You can't be in and out and expect that the player's going to respond to that.
Right.
You know, like, there's got to be a clear direction of what you're trying to accomplish. We talked to Sheldon this morning, and he said, look, we've had, you know, Nylander and him have had enough conversations that it's very clear what's expected.
Well, the other thing, too, Ray, is they have a long history. Like, so when you have a long history and a long relationship with somebody, like, Sheldon knows exactly what buttons to press with that player. He may not have the same relationship with Austin Matthews or Jake Muzzin, but, you know, Sheldon's coached William in the minors. He's now coached him at the NHL level. Like, the history goes back, so I think the relationship is different. So you may be able to cattle prod one player, and then you have to back rub the other. And I just believe that relationship, Sheldon's seeing something that he doesn't like from William, and this is what he's doing. But he's not going to do that to every player in the lineup. He has to develop that one-on-one relationship, and I think it's fine. I think the relationship's fine. It's just, let's see how William
Willie's
responds.
Willie's never been a guy that has been overly concerned about getting benched either. I mean, and
yeah, he's
like
great.
In terms of him generally bouncing back, like, I think he'll play pretty well tonight. I found the explanation somewhat interesting, though, that Keith said it wasn't about effort, it was about not buying into the plan, which would suggest, you know, he was maybe telling his guys, like, this is how we have to play, that we have a lead in the third, and Willie wouldn't buy into it. Like that I could see almost frustrating Keefe even more in a weird way.
Well, Brian, I think the first part of that is like he looks like he's on the verge of a breakout, but I didn't like what I saw later in the game, so I sat him down. So it's
right.
Like, you know, like he was close and then he wasn't. And what I noticed in the game as well, along, you know, that fits with this benching is, so Travis Boyd scores in the second, well, everybody scored in the second period, and then him and Tavares got screwed up on the one goal that led to a breakaway. I forget who scored it, maybe Kotkaniemi. And then Boyd turned it over at the blue line, and that led to the next goal. And yet he stayed in the game. Like, he must have been able to kind of get himself back in the trust book that the coach thought it was still a good idea to put him on the ice. And he played the rest of the night. And whatever Nylander, whatever was going on, it was enough that he's like, you know what, we got the lead here and you're not going to be part of it.
Well,
and each guy's got his own little, you've got your own tells, like a poker player, right? Like, I'm sure there's not anything Nylander can do anymore that's much of a surprise from behind the bench.
No, exactly. Sheldon Keefe knows exactly what Willie Nylander is going to bring, what he's going to look like when he's on, when he's off. But we've been through this dance with Kessel for the longest time, where Phil and Nylander are similar players. Kessel's a better player in terms of overall production, but polarizing guy. You know, produces high-end talent, can sometimes fade in a game, and can sometimes be frustrating as an outsider looking in. But I hope what dawns on Nylander is that he has the opportunity to be not the Kessel in Toronto, but the Kessel in Pittsburgh. He's not expected to be the man. He doesn't even have to be the number two guy. Doesn't have to be number three.
Yeah.
Be right. Number four or five and work hard and join the party. That easy. Ride shotgun on the second line and just come along for the ride. And it should set up perfectly for him. Like, this should, he should be able to relish that opportunity, but you got to be more consistent. You got to bring the effort. You got to do what your coach wants you to do. Because, you know, Phil got unnecessary heat and unfair heat because he was expected to drag this team. He's not capable of doing that.
Well, you saw what Phil did in Pittsburgh, Brian. It's not like he was Charlie Hustle every night, but you know what he did in the playoffs come clutch time? He scored, man.
Yes, he did.
And he helped those guys out, and he was a big part of it. So we know there's not going to be Charlie Hustle awards presented to this player. But you know what? Produce. Get along, just like you said, go along for the ride and chip in with your offense and be accountable and score big goals and everybody will leave you alone if that's the role you want to play.
Here's the other thing I'll add on before you jump in, Ray, is like this is the right time to do it. Like, we're focused on it. The team still won the game.
Right.
They lose 7-1, and you're worried about a $7 million player. What you're doing along the ride is fine-tuning. So I have no problem with that, because if there is a lull in play with other players, other your top players, if Marner and Matthews take a step back or they get shut down for a couple games, that's when you expect this player to step up, and Tavares, because I'm going to lump 91 in there too. There's been some inconsistencies in his, you know, production and performance as well. But I have no problem with a coach coaching while your team is having success, because all it's doing, it's shining a little light. This is what we're talking about. Well, there's nothing else to talk about. Like, you know, they're not talking about who got benched in Calgary. They're talking about everyone's hair's on fire. Montreal, everyone's hair's on fire in Montreal. They lost two games. Like, you know, here, all you're doing is just fine-tuning, and that's kind of behind the scenes.
Which is needed long-term. Yeah.
Correct. It's the investment in the future.
Long-term payoff.
Right.
Well, Noodles, to part of your point there, Tavares has got two even strength goals. They're 17, 18 games into the season?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, if the big boys aren't out to a great start, this is all we're talking about.
Right. Exactly.
Those guys aren't producing. They're not to the level that you would expect, commiserate with the number that they're being paid and what their ability should allow them to score at. So they're muddled along here, and they got time to get going here, but eventually you can't be the best team in the league with two guys. And we all know that, and these guys are going to have to somewhere get untracked. I'd just like to see them look in sync a little better. Because as I said, to me it doesn't look like they are. Like, I really noticed it on Saturday that Tavares gets the puck a lot of times and he's just standing there. Now, he's not the fastest guy off the mark, so you get stuck. Like, there needs to be, there needs to find a little more flow to that line, I think, before they're really going to be successful.
Well, the crazy thing about Saturday is you started watching Colorado-Vegas, and then you went and watched every other game, and then you went back and watched Colorado-Vegas and Lake Tahoe.
Wow.
And it was I felt for the league because I support the play. I love the creativity. I loved it. I love that they went there. I've been advocating for that for a long time.
What?
And in terms of the outdoor new environment, not in a stadium, Lake Tahoe, the background, NBC, they got jobbed. You know, like, you can goof on them all you want that
Brian,
they didn't anticipate the sun
man.
Coming out.
Who says that while the sun's our enemy? That's like saying, I put porta potties there, but I forgot toilet paper. I mean, it's ridiculous. You can't just say the sun is our enemy. This didn't. That was a huge mistake. There,
it was
man.
An error.
Come
and
on,
they got burned.
Man.
What I'm saying is, I'm not going to. Go ahead, Ray.
They don't have Frank, the weather guy, doing the weather charts. I assume they're looking at satellites. They have as much advanced information as possible. Their information was there was going to be cloud cover. And when there wasn't, those guys were skating in soup. My favorite
that was
play.
Silly.
Right before they canceled the game, was there was an end zone shot, and the referee and one of the players fell in. I'm like, they got to cancel this right now. This
yeah.
is ridiculous.
They had to. And listen, it sucked. It was a black eye and embarrassing. What I'm not going to do is rip them for going there or
right.
trying
oh,
something
yeah.
different.
Oh, fine. Like, the night part of the game looked fantastic.
Exactly.
The next day was beautiful.
Yeah, it was. The product was beautiful once they got going. I just, personally, I understand that I think networks were involved. I think, you know, timing and all of that. But nothing to me says that you should start a game in the middle of the afternoon in a sunny place, ever. Like, that just, I thought to myself, why would they not have it, try and have it at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock that time? Yeah, I understand. It's 8 or 9 o'clock out here. Like,
you,
I just,
but you know what?
I understand.
It was the TV.
NBC.
It was, you know,
yep.
NBC needed it. And we can say all those at bloody NBC, but they're a major TV partner.
Yep.
Until they're not, and those decisions don't get made all the time, I think, the way the hockey fan in all of us would like.
Right.
Yeah. That's just the way it is.
It wasn't just NBC Sportsnet. It was main network NBC,
right.
Which means a lot to the league as well. I mean, it's not just about what's on a dotted line with the contract. That's what you want. That's when you get a chance at, you know, 3 million viewers during the regular season. You can't get that anywhere else in the States.
Right.
I did send Eddie Olczyk a text, and I'm like, Edzo, are you going to juggle soon? And he said, it's so hot.
Oh.
I felt for them. We've all been there trying to kill time.
Grind.
Where they're like, stretch, grind.
No,
like,
that's
like,
where
let's
you
go
like
to
play a replay of the last year's event or something. It's like, you can't fill like that. Oh, my God.
Well, even Gary got involved. He had to be interviewed. And, like, you're sitting there. They're trying to kill. They must have been trying to get to the bottom of the hour, the top of the hour, where, you know, okay, we'll get out of here at this time.
Right.
But we've got 40 minutes to kill. Let's go back to Brian Boucher, and Bush is standing there with a mask on. Like, and
he's got nothing.
Like,
by the second time they went to him, he had nothing.
And it's not his fault.
Not his fault. Like, you can't prepare for it. It is ultimately you're juggling. And, you know, they had Tirico there, who's outstanding, and Eddie Olczyk. We all love Eddie, and he's great.
And then who was that? Sorry for my ignorance. Who was that dude running around on the beach?
I have no idea who that guy is.
With the Speedo on that dove in the water?
Like, who is he? He was the host. I don't know what it is. I don't even know who he was.
Yeah.
I'm like, wonder who that guy is.
Me neither. I saw people tweeting about him. I'm like, never seen him, never heard of him. Is he gritty or something? Like, without the
David Pasternak.
By the way, that was entertaining. That guy. Yeah. Wow, what a player too, eh?
He always brings it. Always brings it, man. Always. How about Pierre-Luc Dubois and his debut for Winnipeg? I think they're pretty happy out there.
Well, they say, okay, we don't want to really stress him because he got hurt when he came right back, so we'll play him on the wing with Wheeler and Scheifele. And then those guys, like, Scheifele had a goal and two, Wheeler had three assists, Dubois had two and one. Like, they just if those big boys get rolling like that, that would be a tough line to handle. They're all big, and that was a pretty good finish last night, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wait till he gets his groove on. That'd be scary.
Yeah.
That team might have a chance to be pretty good, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, that's
Noodles, you've been knocking on that door. Oh, you too. You both like them.
Pretty consistent. I mean, you know who is a really fantastic player for them is that Pionk. He terrorized. He terrorized McDavid and Draisaitl the other night. Like, he physically, like, he's a guy, and he's not a big guy, but he's got a like an edge to him, and he's a good player offensively. Like, I think they've found, you know, Trouba's had his struggles with the Rangers. Like, and Trouba was a mean player to play against, but Pionk is kind of the new style mean. Like, he
puts up some numbers too.
Puts up numbers. He's got a bomb for a shot. Like, he's a really nice player. Very nice player.
Don't forget, this too, Noodles, about that trade, right? Is they got a first round pick, which is Ville Heinola.
Oh yeah.
He is a good young prospect. Pionk's making $3 million. Trouba's making $8 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that deal has turned out very well for Winnipeg.
Yep. Not bad. And it makes you realize, like, sometimes you got to let something play out. You know, in Winnipeg, they were understandably rattled. Like, Trouba wanted out. He had asked out. They got rid of him, quote, unquote. And I'm sure they're thinking, great, what is this going to mean for us? Pretty good spot to be in right now. Anyway, you got the call tonight. Leafs Flames on TSN 4, and we'll break it down tomorrow at 5:05.
Yep, we were just... Think of this. Flames have given up the first goal 5 times in a row, 5 games in a row. Matthews has got the first goal 4 games in a row. It kind of sets up pretty good.
It might. Yeah, that would be an interesting streak on both ends to continue tonight. I wouldn't be shocked if it did.
Have a good one, boys. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yep, you got it. There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. If you're looking to lower your car payments, downsize your vehicle, or trade in 2 cars for 1, visit MapleToyota.com or book an in-person appointment. Calgary, again, has lost 4 of the last 5. They're 1-4 in the last 5, giving up a ton of goals. And now Markstrom's numbers are starting to, you know, bloat a little bit or get bloated.
Been pulled 2 games in a row.
Exactly.
So you're going to see how Hank, you're see what know, he brings.
Hold on for dear life.
I have one correction too. Stamkos, people have written, he didn't score 65. He scored 60. But that wasn't my point. The point was the argument, the host of TH2N, is he was mad because he was a Stamkos guy, and I said he will never get something with a 6 in it without somebody putting it on his tape. And the minute that St. Louis left, he never got there ever again.
Yep.
And that was my point.
Yeah, so no, and it's a valid one. I mean, 65. Semantics, 60, 65.
Yeah, but still, you know.
It's a pretty good number, I would say. I don't know if he won the Hart that year. I don't think he did. I don't think he's won a Hart. Who won the Hart the year he scored 60?
Probably Crosby or Ovi.
Probably Crosby or Ovi. One of those two, yeah, they probably had more. So.
Come back and look into that.